This is Jim Green speaking, and it sure is good to be back with you again. We're going to go into a study today, and we're going to talk about the unpardonable sin. But before we go into our study, I want to take time to read this short letter to you. Dear Brother Jim, I have been a tormented Christian for many years. My Bible reading, praying, church going, etc., have not served to deliver me. I am home this Sunday morning because my health again. I have severe diabetes, but even that is not my main struggle. My problem is one I have much shame and torment over. To even write, yet now, I cannot. But dear Brother Jim, though I heard you the first time this morning, there is in my spirit a feeling of hope. No minister or counselor has been able to give me that yet. I didn't even hear your full sermon. I don't even know exactly what to ask to send me in the mail. The sermon I heard was about demons being cast out of Christians. I love my Lord Jesus, and I thank him so much I heard you this morning. Please send me more information. I will be more than happy to send my necessary contributions you need. Thank you so much. Your sister, Pat. Praise God. Well, you know, it's letters like this, brother and sister, that keeps me going. It keeps me encouraged. Not that God keeps me going, because God is promoting what I'm doing here. God told me to do this. But it's letters like this that keeps me encouraged, that keeps me pushing against opposition. Praise God. And let me tell you, we are receiving a lot of opposition on this subject. And it's the age-old battle that Jesus had himself. He came down from heaven to do nothing but good for mankind, to open the doors of the prison house that man was bound in, to heal the sick and afflicted, to raise the dead, to speak life into those that were dead, to give a vision to those that did not have a vision, to cast demons out of those that was tormented. And you know what? It was the religious leaders of his day that sit back and criticized and pointed their finger and blasphemed the very thing that was helping and setting God's people free. And I find the same thing today. I am finding a lot of Christian leaders today doing the same thing they did with him. But you know what? Praise God. It said, blessed is a man that receives persecution. Because it's persecution, brother and sister, that makes us grow. And it makes me personally more determined to rip that ugly mask of deception away that Satan has put on God's people. And it keeps them in a place of being bound in certain areas of belief, such as this subject. Praise God. And with all my might and all my strength that God has put in me, I am going to do my best to speak out against systems that are holding God's people in deception and in bondage. I'm going to speak out against sin that the Christian is committing and thinking you're getting away with it. Well, let me tell you something. We are not getting away. We are going to stand before God and be held accountable for those things we do. Praise God. And as long as I got a breath, I'm going to speak out against things. And I've heard people say, I'm going to put you off the air. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to shut your minister down. Let me tell you, brother and sister, if you think you're big enough to shut God up, you just go right ahead and try that. Because as long as God is promoting what I'm doing, I will speak the truth. And when God is done with me, he's done with me. It's finished. However long that may be. Praise God. So let me tell you, threats do not scare me whatsoever. In fact, they encourage me to keep pressing on, because you know what? It's Satan working through those people. Just like the Pharisees and scribes and lawyers, it was Satan, their father, working through them to come against the Son of God and the things that he was doing, performing miracles in people's lives. And this subject has caused such a stink, I can't believe, in this city. And I don't know why it's like this, other than it's just ignorance on the part of some, unbelief and fear, I suppose. But this casting out of demons has helped more people than counselors. It's helped more people than just reading your Bible. And I'm not belittling counselors, and I'm not belittling our Bible reading. We need those things. But let me tell you, let's get to the root of the problem, and the root of the problem is Satan. God does not afflict us. God does not torment us. God does not cause us to stumble. It is Satan, so why not go against Satan? And this is what I'm endeavoring to do through these messages here, trying to expose the works of Satan. And for years we have believed the traditional teaching that a Christian in no circumstance can have a demon. I believed this at one time, but you know what? I'm finding out it wasn't a bit of truth to it. It was just traditions passed on down as truth. Praise God. So today, as I said the last broadcast, I'm going to take us into some scripture on the unpardonable sin in relationship with deliverance. And I would to God that all of you out there would take heed to this subject, because what I'm talking about is no funny business here whatsoever. I have seen the judgment hand of God in people's lives, and I fear that. And I know there is a lot of Christians and leaders in this city alone that's coming against me and what I'm teaching here, but I feel like a warning is necessary through the Word of God before you act. Praise God. See, I don't have to defend myself. God will defend me. He is my shield and buckler. All I have to do is be a mouthpiece for God, and God will promote and back me up. So today, let's look into the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter, and let's look in verse 22 to start out with. And I'm going to read a few verses here. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil. Now notice, remember the teaching that I said that there is two ways of wording this. You can be possessed with a devil, or you can be possessed of the devil. And this is where the misunderstanding comes in. A Christian can be possessed with a devil, but he cannot be possessed of the devil if he's walking with God and if he truly is a Christian. But a Christian can have a demon. They can be demonized. We can possess a demon on inside of us, and that demon may not own us and control us. See, people think I'm teaching a Christian can be demon-possessed. I've never taught that. I wish you would open your ears. It proves that you're dull of hearing. Now let's go on with this. Now I want to bring out certain points of this scripture. Now they brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. Now this man was blind. He couldn't see and he couldn't hear or talk. Praise God. And he healed him. Notice, he healed him. Now it was demons. A demon that caused him to be blind and not be able to speak, and he healed him. Notice. Insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, notice, the Pharisees always stood in the shadows trying to find a cause against the man working the miracles. Said, This fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Notice, casting out of demons was a common thing in the days of the Lord. We think it's a mysterious thing. We think it's a phenomena today. It was not. It's never been. It's because it's been taken out of the churches why it seems strange anymore. But it was old hat in those days. The Jews cast demons out. Therefore, they shall be your judges. Verse 28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Now notice, he cast these demons out, which meant the kingdom of God was coming unto them. In other words, it was in their midst, what God was doing. He said the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is at hand, and he told them to repent so they could enter into that kingdom. But you know what? The scribes, the Pharisees, the lawyers, and all those religious leaders, they didn't repent. They did not enter into the kingdom of God. It was those that heard it, believed it, and accepted it, and went into it. Verse 29, or else, How can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? Now notice, I just want to expound a little bit as I go. He is talking about a strong man. We know the strong man is Satan. And we know that Christ is stronger than Satan, so Satan come along and bound the strong man. That's why we have the complete liberty to cast out his demons, because the strong man is bound. You say, well, he still roams the earth. That's right. He sure does. But we still have the privilege of binding him and binding his demons and casting them out, because theoretically it's done in heaven. Therefore, God has given us the power to do that. See, we have delegated authority. And so many Christians don't realize the power and authority we have as believers in Christ. And if you're an unbeliever, then you don't utilize the power that's in you. Since I'm a believer, I see this work all the time. Verse 30. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Now, notice in verse 31, Wherefore? Now he's saying wherefore because of the things he was discussing here with the Pharisees. He says, Wherefore, I say unto you, All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Praise God. Now, let's kind of dissect this a bit, okay? Now, I've, in my past years in different Christian circles and teachings I've heard different portions of this context here. I've heard people take a little text here and read it and just make a sermon on it. But I've never heard this taught in its entirety until God began to show me this. Okay? Now, if we were to take one text out of this, out of the context, that would become a pretext. Praise God. Let's apply the words of Jesus within the context that he spoke, shall we? Now, the context starts in verse 22 and ends in verse 32. Let's get the context of what he's talking about. Then it's okay to talk about some the text. You know, like if we want to use verse 28 or verse 29, those are texts we can talk about. But let's keep those within the context of the whole discussion here. Praise God. Now, the whole discussion here has to do with deliverance, people. It has to do with casting out of demons, okay? This is the context of this discussion here. Praise God. And we see Jesus casting a demon out of a person, and that person is healed. It said he was healed, which meant the demons went out, and then he was healed physically. Praise God. Which we see a gift of deliverance working, and we see a gift of healing working at the same time. Now, what I want to bring out, it was the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day, that were saying that he was casting out these demons by the prince of the devils, Beelzebub. In other words, they didn't believe what they saw, in so much as they accepted that it was Christ doing it. Okay, they believed in deliverance because, like I say, deliverance was common in those days. Casting out a demon, exorcism, whatever you want to call it, was common. But because Jesus, the very one they was trying to find accusations against and condemn him, it just got under their skin that he set this person free. And notice, they didn't rejoice that this person was set free. You know, I find this today. When people come over for deliverance from, say, another church that don't believe in this, and they receive deliverance, and they go back and try to tell what had happened, you know what happens? The leader rails on them. The people condemn them. They don't really care that they were set free, whereas before they could do nothing for them. They was bound. They was hurting. They was tormented. They was crippled. They got deliverance, and yet the pastors and the leaders and some of the people rail on them, and they say, well, only the devil could do this because a Christian can't have a demon. Now, folks, this is what we're facing today. I am facing the very same thing, and anybody who works in deliverance is going to face this. Praise God. All right, now this is the context. So they didn't believe that Jesus was casting out these demons through the power of God because he just was coming against all their traditions and really upset them. Wasn't that something? He upset them. Shame, shame, shame. Anyway, Jesus said, if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, then his kingdom is going to fall, which he was trying to show them. It's foolish for Satan to come along and cast out his own demons. If he's doing that, he's working against himself. It won't stand. Well, common sense would tell you that. Praise God. Now, in verse 31, he begins to talk about something. He begins to talk about the unpardonable sin. A sin that will not be forgiven us, people, and that is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Now, I have heard this taught in Christian circles, you know, against blaspheming the Holy Ghost and making fun of the gifts of God, but you know what? I've never heard it taught on deliverance such as this context here. Okay, this is what he was bringing about. That they was blaspheming him because the Holy Ghost was working through the man Jesus and delivering him of these demonic spirits. And they were saying, that's not so. And I feel like a warning is needed here to those that are saying the same thing today against the deliverance ministries. When you say that we are working magic and we're practicing witchcraft and putting curses on people and all this, you are blaspheming the Holy Ghost because people are being set free. They are being healed. Praise God. And this is what he's saying. If you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, God will not forgive you for that. He says, if you speak against me, that can be forgiven you. But if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, why? Because it's the Holy Ghost that does the casting out. It does the healing. It does the deliverance. So he gave them a word of warning here. If they blaspheme the Holy Ghost, they was going to be in judgment, and they would not be forgiven. You know, in Luke, on the same account, in Luke 11, chapter verse 23, let me back up to Mark. Mark 3rd chapter, verse 29 and 30. Let me read this to you, talking about the same thing, the unpardonable sin. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he hath an unclean spirit. They said Jesus had a devil because he was setting this man free. And I've heard this numerous times by Christians. And I'm surprised how many Christians are up in arms against me right now over this message. But you know what? It makes me more encouraged to do more for people. Praise God. And speak out. And if you blaspheme, you're not blaspheming me because it isn't hurting my feelings. I'm not performing the miracles. It's the Holy Ghost through me that does it. Keep this in mind. And Luke 11, 23, it says, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth me. All right, what's he saying is, he said, those that are not with me in believing and working in deliverance and casting out of demons, if they're not with me, then they're against me. And where does that put you unbelievers out there? You that don't believe, you that sit and try to find accusations and try to find fault with what is being taught. You're not with Jesus. The Bible plainly says that. If you was with him, you would be setting people free yourself. You would be casting out demons. You'd be doing more than just sitting around talking to Christians and then recommending them to go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, and then they end up finally going to their local sorcery store and getting a bunch of tranquilizers to cope with their problem. Well, let me tell you, there's a shortcut to that, and that is to cast out demons that they may have. So if you're not with him, then you are against him. Think about it. Now, as I go on here, I'd like to say something. And I'd like to mention in Mark, let's just flip over there real quick. I think I've got time. In Mark, the 9th chapter. Praise God. Mark 9, 38 and 39. And John saw him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us. And we forbade him, because he followed not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. What do we see here? We see another person casting out demons in the days of Jesus. They were not of the 12. They were not followers of Jesus, but they saw him casting devils out, okay? And these disciples came to Jesus and said, Hey, I saw this guy over here casting out devils. Now, how come? Jesus came along and replied, said, Leave him alone. For there is no man which shall do a miracle. Now, casting out of demons is the same thing as performing a miracle. And all we talk about miracles today, don't we? All we want to see the miracle evangelist come to town. Why don't you just cast out a few demons and you will witness a miracle? But Jesus said, No man can do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. And yet I hear people all the time saying, Jim Green is totally of the devil. He's a heretic. He's off the wall. He's in deception. Let's shut him up. Let's shut him up. Well, let me tell you, go ahead and try to shut me up. I'm seeing miracles. Thank God I'm seeing miracles. I'm seeing people set free and healed, whereas before, the leaders that's coming against me could never do nothing for them. And you know what? I speak it to your shame, because you ought to read your Bible. You ought to believe what's been passed down as truth. Logically, it seems like a Christian can have a demon, but you know what? Logic is not truth either. Praise God. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians. I like this chapter in chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians. It talks about the gifts, the ministry gifts, the spiritual gift. Praise God, in the body of Christ. And I just want to read a couple of verses here. And let's start in verse 9. He's talking about, well, let's start in verse 8 here. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Notice, it is God, people. It is God that gives out these gifts. It isn't we ourselves that have this within ourselves. It's God that gives out these gifts. If God has given us a gift, let's use it. It's for the body of Christ. It's for the believers. It's not for the pagans, for Pete's sake. I don't know how many times I'm going to have to tell you it's not for the pagans. We will accept some of these gifts and say, oh, yeah, it's for the body of Christ. But when it comes to a couple others, we want to act like it's for the pagan. Such as verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts. Notice, the gifts, plural, of healing by the same Spirit. Now, we've read just one instance where Jesus cast that demon out and that person was healed. And there's many other portions of Scripture says the same thing. Jesus cast out demons and they were healed. So there are gifts of healing. This is why some people cannot be healed until demons are cast out of them, Christians and sinners. I'm not going to limit only Christians. Sinners can have demons cast out of them and they can be healed by the power of God, but we need to get them saved and fill their house. But it was not necessarily for the unbelievers, it was for the believers that these gifts were sent into the body of Christ, for God's people. Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. Notice, the working of miracles. Now we read a case here where Jesus likened casting out of devils to working of miracles. Praise God. Remember in the Acts 19 chapter, verse 11 and 12, I believe, where God said he wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. Remember that? That he sent out portions of his apron, of his body, and when the people received them, diseases departed from the people, and the evil spirits went out of them. That was termed as a miracle. Casting out of demons was miracle. Praise God. The working of miracles. Now, God has sent this into the body of Christ, but yet they say deliverance is of the devil. I don't understand this. Here it is in the Bible. How can you say it's of the devil? Ignorance. Ignorance. And ignorance is just being in the dark about something. That's all. I was ignorant on this subject for a long time. And pride. We don't want to admit that we may have a demon on the inside because we're so holy. We know all the answers to the Bible, and if we didn't know this, it would make us look awful tacky. Well, let me tell you, why don't we humble our full self and face facts? We don't know everything, and neither do I, and neither does anybody else after proclaiming to know all the Bible. None of us have all the answers. But God has put in the midst these gifts that the whole body of Christ can benefit by them. Now, I have seen every one of these gifts, all nine gifts, working in this ministry here, and you cannot say the devil is doing it. I've seen them all work here, and most of them work all the time here. Praise God. And this should be in every Christian church that's using the name of Jesus Christ. But you know what? A lot of fundamentalists don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They say it's of the devil. They say tongues is demon-inspired. Can you believe that? Now, I will not say that there are not devil's tongues. There are devil's tongues. But there is a real tongue. Wherever you find a real, there's a counterfeit, too. Praise God. Okay, now, let's talk about one more here. To another, prophecy that works all the time here. To another, discerning of spirits. Why do we need the discerning of spirits in the body of Christ? It did say discerning of flesh. It said discerning of spirits. Now we got the gifts of healing, which we could see that a person could have a natural disease or sickness in the body. He could be healed supernaturally. He could also have a demon, have that demon cast out, and then he could be healed. I had that happen to my own body. I know it's real. And we could see also the working of miracles. Now, there's more miracles than just casting out of demons. There's supernatural things that happen. But casting out of demons is listed in that category of working of miracles. Discerning of spirits. Why do we need that gift in the body of Christ? Because we need to discern what Satan is doing, how he's doing it, and who he is. We need to know who the enemy is to come against him. Well, when you go into combat, people, when you're trained in the military like I was, they taught you things about the enemy. They taught you how to go into combat. They taught you strategies and tactics. They taught you how the enemy thinks. Therefore, you could outwit him. And yet, we get in the Christian circle and we're stupid. We want to put our head in some theological tower and go around and listen to all these theologians and scholars giving us all this information, and then we get all the information and we don't do anything with it. We don't do one thing with it. We don't set anybody free. It says the truth will set us free. It didn't say just having knowledge. The truth is casting out a demon. That's the truth there. But we must activate some truth that we hear, that we learn. Praise God. We don't need to just make notebooks of it and say, oh, I know this and I know that, and I know all about the tabernacle. I know all about the seven pieces of furniture. I know all about the land of Canaan, what all those nations meant. I know all about the color of the bride's eyes and her wardrobe and all this. Yeah, but are you walking with God? Are you walking with God? Are you consecrating? Are you dedicating yourself to God? Are you abstaining from the lust of this world and from the sin of this world? Hey, knowledge only puffs us up, people. That's why all these scholars and theologians are so proud. They've got a lot of knowledge, and a lot of it's legitimate. It's good. Well, let me tell you, they're doing nothing to help people in the other areas that are bound and afflicted, such as the letter I wrote here. So don't belittle and blaspheme those that are helping people that need help. And yet we find this all the time. Praise God. So I just felt like I need to bring that out, that the context of Jesus talking here about the unpardonable sin had to do with casting out of demons. Maybe you ought to keep that in your mind. That might help you. The next time you want to blaspheme somebody that's working in deliverance, maybe you ought to remember that. It might do us well to keep in mind some words of Jesus. Praise God. I find this subject very interesting. And this is just a study that I'm doing. I've heard people say, Jim Green, that's all he talks about is demons, devils. You know, something's wrong with me because I'm always dwelling on demons and devils. No, I don't either. This is just a topic I'm talking about. You hear people get on the radio all the time and go through the Bible, the whole Bible. That's a study of the Bible. I've heard people take long standing time talking about the tabernacle, explaining what all the furniture meant, going into detail. I've heard people talk about the genealogies and go into great detail on that. I've heard them talk a long time on the baptisms. And just a lot of subjects that people go in great detail, but I have not heard anybody talk about Satan. I have not heard anybody discuss the wiles of the devil. You know why? Satan don't like to be exposed. So that ought to tell us something, shouldn't it? You know, it says that the children of this world is wiser in their generation than we as the children of light. Mark that down as some truth. The people of this world are wiser than Christians. Why? Why? I'll tell you why. The people of this world is more convinced of the supernatural than we Christians are. They're more determined to make a living and a life for themselves down here than we Christians are in Christ. They're more determined. And yet us Christians, because we think we get saved, you know, we think we can just sit back and wait for Jesus to take us out somewhere. And we sit and suck on a lollipop or drink a baby bottle. Well, let me tell you about it. God's raising up soldiers in this hour. And I want to be one of those soldiers on the front line fighting it against the host of hell. I want to be a soldier, not a civilian. Well, my time is up. Tune in to the next broadcast and we'll have some more goodies for you. Lord bless you.